standing back around some of those things we've talked about, who are or who have the websites that you, apart from obviously the good of either one, who have the websites that you respect and why?
I guess 20 years in an insurance company, and someone asked me about this morning actually, and my answer to that was I was always an absolute voracious soaker up of other people's stuff. And I never, whilst people listening to this might understand this, that you have this thing about your peer group in terms of the industry you're in, and that's really important, and that's important for you internally. To kind of understand that you might be doing things a little better than your competitors, and you hope that's a sign and that actually you're in business, you know, to try and eat each other's lunch. But fundamentally what has driven me is not too much focus in that. It has largely been on looking at what's happening in the bigger, wider world. So what are telecoms company doing? What are energy companies doing? What are big retail businesses doing that have this kind of probably, you know, understanding closer connection with them, the people that come and use their services day in, day out, you know. And then it's not just about jolly old what's happening here in England, the UK. It's about that Europe and seeing the growth and understanding of what's happening in the States and the Far East. It's truly a global business. And the beauty is, you know, when I sit at home and, you know, I live in Norfolk and I sit in my house in a little village just south of Norwich, I have the world at my fingertips. Or even when I sit on the train to London now with the Wi-Fi connection through, you know, my iPad, I can actually spend quality time reviewing these things. So that really fires me up and energises me. So the thing that I like to look at, big company. So GSK, you mentioned, mm-hmm. I have a lot of time for what they're doing, particularly this storytelling element that, you know, I've heard Simon Quayle at GSK talk about there. In terms of that, that's definitely reflected in that the style of those CEO interviews. I like just the relentless march that Siemens, you know, just does things, gets things done. With Florian and the team there, they just, you know, they're kind of brave. They're further down the road because they've been at it longer. They, you know, they're a big company, 400,000 staff around the world. They've had their hiccups of reputational issues along the way to deal with.
But they really address them.
Absolutely.
And you know, they are, the example that I hold up for how to show, believably, that you have taken on ethics and put it in your, embedded it in your culture. Not just a, you know, here's our code of ethics, which is, you know, I always beat on about not being the latest best practices.
And then General Electric, you know, because you there's a point where you just kind of go, because companies are bigger, have been at it longer, and they've had more money to spend, and so have got to things before you. You might have had the ideas, and I guess a lot of other people sitting here will say, you know, we're not short of ideas. What we might be is absolutely the ability to have budget and resource to do them all at once. And I've often said that if you had that, you know, what would you do next? You know, it kind of like, and part of the beauty of the web is this organic growth and this kind of the fact that if you introduce new stuff, it implies that you're paying attention to what you're doing, and there's stuff that makes people want to come back and discover new things to read or view. So I like that. But then I get into things about within segments, you know. So who does investor really well, but the overall site perhaps is not so good. Mm-hmm. So who's really, really strong on careers and recruitment? And I like some of the stuff that Coca-Cola do on the recruitment. I like particularly in their Europe stuff. I like the way that Coke particularly have started to pay a lot of attention to their heritage and history. Mm-hmm. Around, you know, this secret recipe and the blog, one of the, you know, and the archivists there, I think that, and that's particularly why, because Aviva is a company with 300 years of history, and we, you know, a few years ago we took our museum online virtually, you know, so that people could search loads of things, and we've seen the growth of that incredibly. We developed a number of things in that interactive sort of timeline involving video, digitising these wonderful assets that we had stuck away on shelves and opening them up. And we've done other things that I hope people found interesting around the difficult subject, but around the both world wars and the service and that people gave then, you know, in terms of the conscription, the loss of life and the impact on some, you know, one in three men in an office getting killed, you know, and just acknowledging under our recognition brand promise about that these people did a thing like that, and it was a storytelling thing to help, you know, people remember. And it's not many years ago, within the last century, that people were confronted with this in their everyday lives. So I like that. But the thing that I talked about this morning, which really said to me, was actually you can look around that, and it's kind of like, well, they would do that, wouldn't they? Because they're huge and they've got all this money. What I used to love doing more than anything is like, and we were lucky enough in some years to be, you know, in the IR Society Best Practice Awards, or, you know, IFS the Shareholder Awards, or a number of these awards, and, you know, do well enough and win them sometimes. I used to love looking at the shortlist. But I used to love, really love looking at the shortlist and the entries in the FTSE 250. Because I think major companies get stricken sometimes by this legacy. They've been around a long time, so certain things are slower to do. And they are hamstrung by, this is the way we do it around here. And then there's this, to connect all that up, where we've got this legacy database. And it kind of, it's difficult for a lot of big companies. When you look at these new companies, all these new ones, they're not often hamstrung by this. And so they have a different thing about actually, well, we don't have that to deal with, so the world's our oyster. So I was really fascinated by the way they would tackle similar things, the agility and flexibility they've shown, the way they would tackle it. And you kind of go around and unashamedly look at it and say, oh, look how they've done that, or they've done that. I want, you know, that probably didn't cost a heap of money, but what a neat way of doing it, you know. And so I used to love looking at all those, because I think in those companies, in some respects, are the ones that eventually want to join up with the big boys in 5-10 years' time. They will hopefully enter the FTSE 100. That's probably their business strategy. And they will be, you know, having all those obligations of listed companies even more tenfold. And so I thought there was a real rich picking for learning, education, knowledge, just driving my curiosity in those.